Well, good morning. Oh, come on. Good morning. There we go. Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. And Pastor Tom, thank you for the communion focus this morning, for the worship of prayer as you laid us all before the Lord, opened our hearts to him this morning. Thank you for the praise team. And they're encouraging us and helping us lift our voices to the Lord. Let's continue our worship of God. Let me ask you to open up to the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go ahead and open up your Bibles there. Go ahead and grab your outline. Also to follow along, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in this final section of 1 Thessalonians from verse 12 of this last chapter to the end of the book, the Apostle Paul talks about the importance or the responsibility of relationships. That's his topic throughout the New Testament. We all know this. God's Word teaches us about our relationship with each other. He teaches us about our relationship with the Lord. He teaches us about our relationship with the lost. He's talking about how we're to live this life. It's all about relationships with him, each other, and the lost for God's glory. It's a major theme in Scripture. Jesus spoke about it a lot in what he had to say. The New Testament writers spoke about it a lot. We recognize this. So about 6 weeks ago, or exactly 6 weeks ago, when I was finishing up our study of 1 Thessalonians, I touched on these verses 12 through 24, a little bit, not thoroughly, and I shared back then I would return to this section of Scripture when I came back and give a full look at verses 16 through 24. So that's what we're going to do. The next 6 weeks, we're going to look at these, and they're about our relationship with God. That's the Apostle Paul's focus. The focus is the believer's responsibilities or importance of a relationship with God. And I say responsibilities because these are six rapid-fire exhortations or commands of God, and Christians are called by God to obey his commands, to obey his word. And that's our responsibility, relationship with the Lord. So I want you to think about that in that way. That's what Paul is talking about. Previously, he talked about the church's relationship with the leadership, and then he talked about church's relationship with each other. And so these six commands are basically about our relationship with the Lord. And they're commands, so God calls us to obey them, calls us to live them, a little more intensified because they're an imperative. I want you to listen to our text this morning, and we'll go from there, verses 16 through 22. Are you there with me? And verse 16 through 22 are their exhortations or commands. Then verse 23 and 24 is Paul's ending benediction. So the Apostle Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it all to pass." So I want you to encourage you to hear the responsibilities of the Word of God this morning in our relationship with God. I want you to hear it this way. I'll give you a couple of different ways. Hear them this way. In your relationship with God, you're to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for everyone in Christ Jesus. In your relationship with God, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, examine everything in life. Now, we're going to unfold that, dig into that as we work our way through these 6 weeks. I'm not going to unfold all of that this morning, but I want to say it simply, just like this from your outline. I want you to hear it this way. In your relationship with God, it is your responsibility to live in constant joy, to live in constant prayer, to live in constant thankfulness. This is God's will for you. Do not quench the spirit, honor God's word, and be discerning. That's what Paul is saying. Now, that sounds about like a really good relationship with God, doesn't it? That in your relationship with God, you find your joy in the Lord, you find your joy in God, you talk to him, you communicate with him, you pray, you lay everything before him, you ask for his wisdom, discernment, you ask for his work in your life, you're dependent upon him like we looked at Sunday school today, that you're grateful at everything, you're thankful that this is God's will for you, and when he talks about we don't want to quench the Spirit of God is at work in every believer's life, conforming them to the image of Christ. It's what he's doing. He's guiding, he's leading. We're to walk by the Spirit, all those kind of things. Do not despise prophetic utterances. That's back then, they had 3 books of the Bible written, and Paul is writing. Do not despise when somebody's preaching the Word of God, when somebody's sharing you what God's Word has to say, and be discerning. What is good and what's right? What is evil? What is wrong? Be discerning in this life. Doesn't that sound like a good relationship with God? That's what Paul's talking about. That's what he's trying to teach us about. Like Pastor Tom's Sunday school class this morning on the windows into a healthy family, we could say these exhortations are windows into a healthy church family's relationship with God. We could have called it that. Could have identified it with that. That would have been good and tag team that Sunday school. But that's what we're looking at. So we're gonna address our relationship with God. This morning we're going to look at one thing, and that's what God's going to do from his word, address our relationship with God. So you did communion this morning, and we're remembering what Christ did and how he reconciled us back to God through the blood of the cross, through the sacrifice of Christ, by the love of God, all those things. So now let's examine our relationship with God. How's it going for you? How's your relationship with God? Are you living in joy with him? Are you talking to him about things? Are you laying things before his feet, trusting him, praying and those things and putting before him? Are you giving thanks to the things that are in this life and everything because it's God's will? Are you not hindering the Holy Spirit's work in your life? Are you honoring God's word? Are you be discerning? See, that's for 6 weeks we're going to look at. And it's not detrimental to our lives, and it's not depressing to our lives, and it's not God getting mad at our lives. It's God helping us, encouraging us. Think about right there in the middle. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, that's what works in my life. That's what works in your life as Christians, that God has a will, God has a plan, God has a purpose. And he's at work in through his word, by his spirit, bringing about that plan and purpose in our lives. And so he has a will for us. Aren't you glad he has a will? For you individually, for us corporately, that God has a plan and purpose, and he desires for our relationship to be like this with him. No condemnation in Christ. None of us are Jesus, so we're all working on an area here. But so important for us to look at this in this way. So the next 6 weeks, we're going to be encouraged to invest in our relationship with God. That's a good way to look at it. You're encouraged through the Word of God to invest in your marriage relationship, invest in your relationship with your kids, invest in the relationships of your life. So for 6 weeks, we're going to look at investing in our relationship with God, according to God's Word, on how he wants us to see it and respond to it. We're going to look at one this morning in your relationship with God. God's Word says, rejoice always. Or live in constant joy. Now, that's not an isolated command. By no means. It's in many places. Philippians 3:1 says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You've got to repeat it like, hey, did you hear it the first time? It means to live in joy with the Lord. It's what he's calling about. We are called to a continuous, persistent kind of joy that gathers up our being in a relationship with God. Did you hear that? Christians, believers in Christ, we are called by God to live in a continuous, persistent kind of joy that gathers up our being in our relationship with God. 1 Peter 4:13 even says, though we suffer, we are to rejoice with joy. So it's not some sort of minimal joy that we're going to talk about that we're to be living in. Minimal joy that's only from positive circumstances. This joy that we're talking about comes from somewhere else or something else. It's an internal joy, a Christian joy, that without salvation, you know nothing about. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, listen to what he said about his life. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. He had many sorrows in his life. So do you. So do I. Life is real, right? I got sorrows. You got sorrows. You got hard things. You got difficult things. You got challenges of life. The Apostle Paul did. But see, there was a thing that was in his heart and mind. There was a life that God had given him. There was a state of being of gladness that he had in his new life in Christ, that even though there were sorrowful things, even though there were some things that were sorrow, there was something that God had done, something in our relationship with God, that I would always be rejoicing, even though that he was sorrowing with the sorrows of others, even though he had failures of believers in the churches that he had sorrow over, or the pain of persecution he had sorrow over, or sorrowing over people rejecting the gospel or dishonoring of Christ, or the mistreatment of others or him, or the fallenness of humanity and its consequences. All those kinds of emotional experiences didn't touch the joy that he had. I want to know that, don't you? You want to learn that out of God's word and then our relationship with God, regardless of the things that are here. There's something in us. There's something that God is doing. There's a relationship with God to where there's a state of being of gladness. Not glad over the sorrows, but despite the sorrows, there's a joy that we live in this life because of Christ. Those things, emotional experiences, didn't touch the joy that the Apostle Paul had. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Always an ungirding joy. The Lord's final time with his disciples, think with me from the Gospel of John, chapter 13 through 17. I want you to think a little bit what he, in the upper room and the discourse and what he's telling them. He's giving them the final instructions. And with all that he faced and all that he was talking about and what all of the disciples were going to face and Jesus is leaving and all those kind of things that are really hard, that are really sorrowful, that really was very emotional that was going on when Jesus was talking to his disciples in the upper room. He spoke about joy 8 times. That kind of is quite remarkable to think about. For Jesus and his disciples in the next few days, they will come to the low point of their lives, of their human lives, to be with Christ and walk with him and expect the kingdom of God, and they're going to enter the kingdom of God, and here's Jesus, here's the Messiah. Now they're somewhat realizing, but they didn't totally realize that he was going to be dying and be crucified until it actually happened. Probably a low point in their human lives. The Lord's crucified, mistreated. Jesus kept telling them, I'm leaving. There was probably never a greater fear or a greater time that they were full of anxiety. That happens in our lives, doesn't it? In relational life that we live in, there's times that we're our lowest point in our human lives, that we have fear, that we have things that we're afraid of, that we have things that we're anxious of, that we're concerned for, we're worried of. I'm sure they were sorrowful in the upper room. And in that precise moment, the night of the Lord's betrayal, Jesus talked to them repeatedly about joy. Isn't that interesting? Talked to them about, you guys should have joy. You guys should be rejoicing. Wait a minute, Lord, this isn't turning out how we thought it was going to turn out. This isn't turning out how we saw it. But if you would have understood that God is over how it's turning out, and the Lord is going to be glorified, and it's going to be for your good, and it's going to bring about redemption. If you'd understand the plan of God, if you'd understood about what God was bringing about through tremendous anxiety and fear and sorrow and heart, if you would have understood the reality that God is at work in all of this, you would have had joy. That's what he's telling them. So important for us to know the Lord, to know him through his word, to recognize that regardless of the sorrow that is there, that God is bringing about his plan and purpose. Chapter 14 of John's Gospel, verse 28, Jesus says, you heard that I said to you, I'll go away and I will come to you. And if you love me, you would have rejoiced. You would have rejoiced, he said. Well, now we know why. They didn't know why then, but because you know what that means. It means that I'm going to go through the cross. I'm going to go through the grave. I'm going to go to the right hand of the Father. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. That's the plan. I'm going to bring full salvation and all that it contains. This is your redemption, your salvation, your sanctification, your ultimately your glorification. That's going to come about. I'm going to return. If you had understood what was happening in the life of Christ, if you had understood what was going on, you would have rejoiced. If you had understood the plan, but you got lost in the circumstances, you got lost in the sorrow. You see what I'm talking about and what we're looking at, this joy that we're to have in this life. Chapter 15, he had to say to them, hey, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm going to go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come get you, and I'll take you to that place. Because they weren't seeing the truth or understanding the truth or seeing the earthly circumstances about what was going on immediately, they struggled to have joy. That sound familiar? That relatable to you? That in the challenges of this life and the things going on, our failure to understand or our failure to listen to God or believe to trust God, we don't find the joy that God has for us? In chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus said, These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. He promised them peace. He promised them provision, the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, divine resources, new life in Christ. He promised them eternal life. Even though it was through sorrowful circumstances, they were to be rejoicing always, consequent joy. He even says in chapter 16, verse 22, in this salvation, your heart will rejoice, and no one can take that joy away from you. This joy, the truth of Christ, of our salvation in Him, and the grace and mercy of God in our life, that God loved us and rescued us and redeemed us, that this new life that we have, nothing can take that joy out of that new life. But then we struggle to rejoice in the midst of things. But it's there. It's in our new life. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Let me ask you as we go along here, do you know this joy? This eternal Christian joy? Do you constantly live in that joy in your relationship with the Lord? It's God's will for you. One more from John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 13. Jesus is praying to the Father and says, now I come to you, coming to the Father, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Jesus spoke at the truth of the gospel, the truth of the kingdom of God, the truth of salvation found through faith in Jesus Christ to the world. And what came in salvation is his joy, the Lord's joy, made full in us. That's what he just said. That's just what he prayed to the Father. Let me ask you, do you think the Lord's joy is circumstances and earthly outcomes always being positive? Do you think that's the Lord's joy? He didn't have very many earthly circumstances that turned out positive, did he? They didn't come from that. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what God is revealing to us, to live in constant joy. I'm sorry that the so-called evangelical church is overrun by so-called teachers of God's word that say Christ died and rose again to bring you all that you would ever want in this earthly existence so you can have joy. How degrading it is to our Lord to proclaim the Lord's joy made full in you is from a temporary, earthly, positive circumstances coming your way. That's been the message of Satan since the Garden of Eden. That's not what God's talking about. That's not the promises of God in his word. That's not the joy, his joy made full in you. And like I said, and my heart is troubled and breaks for what's in the world today and in social media and what you can pull up on your phone about what they say God's about and what they say the joy's about. And has nothing to do with earthly circumstances becoming positive. That's not the joy that God's talking about. One of the foundational testimonies to a transformed life found in Christ is where the joy is lived out in the challenges of the circumstances of life. It should be obvious to us all that the command to rejoice is not dependent upon positive circumstances. That's not the kind of joy we're talking about. That's the world's joy. Let me explain this to you. So this kind of just attaches, and you're getting an understanding here. God has given a common grace to humanity where we have an ability to be happy and have joy, but it's limited. But humanity has it. You have it. I have it. All humanity has it. It's derived from the fulfillment of earthly pleasures. Who doesn't have joy? Who isn't happy when an earthly pleasure is fulfilled? Right? You get a new truck. Woo, got some joy. Right? That's what I'm talking about, those kind of things, right? God gave humanity the ability to have that joy, but it's limited. It's derived from the fulfillment of earthly pleasures. Not wrong to have this joy from circumstances turning out positive, but it's limited. Joy of friendships, joy of better job, joy of your children succeeding, joy in buying a new truck, joy in getting stuff that you want, joy in earthly pleasures being fulfilled. People without the Lord only have that joy. Only. They only have it in this way, and their desire for earthly pleasures never ends. That's what God rescued you from, being enslaved to sin. That's what God changed your life from, being enslaved to sin, being enslaved that life is about your earthly pleasures being satisfied. That's what you were before salvation. That's what unbelievers are. God gave that to humanity that they could have joy. gladness and joy and the earthly pleasures being fulfilled in life. God rescued you from you that it was the only joy that you could have. It was the only thing that you sought after. In fact, it's never satisfied. For the flesh will never be satisfied. So in our understanding of the truth of God's word, that's not our journey that we're on. We're not looking to live for the Lord so that side of the joy, of the human joy, of the earthly positive circumstances turning out or being fulfilled kind of joy. That's why people move from material earthly pleasure to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. The word of God says the joy is short-lived. Job 20, verse 5 says the joy of the godless is momentary. For the Christian, we have learned or are learning that that's not the life of joy that we are seeking after or living for. Let me ask you, do you agree? Give me an amen. Wow, that's what I thought, maybe. Do you agree that we're learning and have learned that that's not the life of joy that we're seeking after that God has for us? And certainly that our relationship with the Lord being of constant joy is not predicated on God fulfilling the kind of joy the world seeks of self-gratification, which is such a false gospel in our world today. God's word's talking about something else. So to live in constant joy in your relationship with God is not about earthly pleasures being fulfilled so you have joy. It's about supernatural joy, something that's not natural, not from humanness. We are talking about a joy that is impossible to the non-believer. It's a joy that comes from God. Like Jesus said in John 17, 13, it's the truth of the gospel, the truth of salvation that we speak in the world that brings you into a saving relationship with the Lord, where the joy of the Lord is made full in you, not the joy of the flesh. Christians are learning to distinguish the difference and learning that God is speaking to our new life in Christ. He's telling you to deny your flesh. He doesn't even talk to your flesh, and Christ didn't do all of his work so our flesh could be gratified. That would be ugly. Is this making sense, you guys? This is just the introduction to living in constant joy. Because it's not really hard to pursue it and seek it and have it, but you have to understand the truth of God's word and understand what you're at battling against is your old self, your flesh. Like I said, it comes from God. Let me just give you a flow. Look at your outline. Number one, it comes from God. Many places in Scripture we could refer to this, but Psalm 4, verse 7 says, Lord, you have put gladness in my heart more than where the grain and the new wine abound. That's saying, God, you had did something in my heart, in my being. You might want to write that down. It comes from God. God does something in my being that it's more than natural joy that I receive when my crops came in and I had all that I wanted ever to eat or drink. That's what the psalmist is saying. That's the joy of the Lord. That's the living in constant joy. That's the joy that the gladness, the state of being in us of gladness that is there for us in Christ where we can live this life. And there's more joy in that than if everything in life is working out. And it comes from God. It comes from God is what we're looking at. It's like you did way more than that in my being than just the joy I get from circumstances being filled. Verse 8 in that text says, God gave me peace so that I can lie down and sleep. Refers to the Lord. Your joy in me took the anxiety out of my life. Interesting, the word used for rejoice in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is charontes, means joy or gladness as a state of being. God gave it to you. Secondly, it comes through Jesus Christ. Okay, we would understand that. It comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes in the new life. It comes in the new birth. It comes in to be born again. It comes through the truth of God, right? So it comes from God. It came through Jesus Christ. It's supernatural joy. John 15:11 again. These things I have spoken to you, the gospel and all the truths of salvation spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be made full. Jesus is saying to those that are His followers, to those that are believers in Christ, you are mine, and with me in relation, in the relationship with me that we have, Jesus is saying, you get my joy, my full joy. So it's from God through Christ. Now you're going to understand, and you're going to see why at this church, at Living Word Fellowship, that all of our teaching and all of our focus, even if it's about a parenting class or a marriage class or about some focus of intently on some sort of relationship, it still turns back into your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For in it, in your relationship with Christ, your joy is made full, and it's His joy. So you live in constant joy with the Lord, regardless of sorrows. That's a strong light of the transformed life. That's God's will for us. That's the church. That's what God wants us to be in this world, even though there's sorrowful things, and we weep with those that weep, those kind of things. But even though there's hard, difficult circumstances, even though our country is going through what it's going, Christ in us, in our life, we have a state of joy or happiness in us because we know Christ, and Christ is in us, and we know the truth of Christ, and we know the work of God. And these are just temporal, earthly circumstances. And He didn't die on the cross to fulfill those. Something far greater. Luke 2, verse 10 and 11, the angel said to the shepherds, I bring good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David has been born for you a Savior, Christ the Lord. The great day, or the great joy, comes to those through faith in the Savior. It's not a human joy. It's not a natural joy. So it comes from God through Christ. Look at your outline. And the Holy Spirit is the energizer of this joy. God is the source. Jesus is the mediator. The Holy Spirit is the energizer of this joy. Romans 14:17, listen to this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. You know what that simply means? That verse? The kingdom of God is not satisfaction from the physical. Do you know the kingdom of God that Christ came to, and now you belong to the kingdom of God? It's not into the satisfaction of the physical or the material or the temporal or all that being fulfilled. It's not. That's not the kingdom of God. What does God's word say in that verse? But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's why Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, then joy, then. So let's talk about this. You may be hearing this and say, well, I don't have much of this joy. It's like, wow, I don't have much of this joy. As they talk about this and talk about that it's not about earthly material circumstances being fulfilled or coming out positive, you may be struggling and giving recognition that much of you, much of your joy in relationship with God is centered on earthly circumstances being fulfilled. Anybody with me on that one? Because we're back to our relationship with God. And in your walk in this world and your walk in this life, and it's based upon your relationship with God, that somehow earthly, temporal circumstances are to be positive or be fulfilled, and then you're struggling when they're not. You're struggling when they're difficult. You're struggling when, and you're doubting God, and you're wondering why God, and you're thinking, you're listening to people that teach falsely and said, well, you know, you didn't have the right faith. You didn't hop on your left foot. You didn't do the right prayer. You didn't do this kind of. No, this came in our salvation. This came God's plan and purpose and His providence to work in our life, but you know, in our heart and mind, I'm just dealing with the truth of this in the church, in our lives. Our lives are predicated, we're working through, always challenged when earthly circumstances don't turn out positive. That really is man, I don't know how to have a relationship with God because I'm misunderstanding and how come. And anybody with me? What do I do? What do we do? Or how does God move us from there? How do we get out of that? Because that's not the relationship that he said this is God's will for you. Let me encourage us. God is the source. Christ is the mediator. Maybe you need Christ. Maybe you don't have the joy that God wanted to bring to those that are his. I don't know. The Holy Spirit's the energizer. Maybe you quench the Holy Spirit by making it about something else. I don't know. We'll get to that later. But God is the source, Christ the mediator. That joy is available through Jesus Christ, through his salvation. It's unlimited, undiminished, full of joy, even in sorrowful circumstances. It's like God fills a well with joy out of which you can draw on upon your whole life, and you can never get it not to be at the top. That's our God. That's his truth. He understands our sorrow. He understands our disappointment. He understands all those things. But a life of having the joy of the Lord, it's like there's a well that basically, if we just submit our lives to the Lord, surrender to him and say, just lead me, Lord, that we can draw from that well. Drawing of that joy is dependent upon the Holy Spirit, and that is to say, to walking by the Spirit of God, Galatians 5:16, so you not walk by the flesh. It's obeying the Spirit of God, believing the truth of God in his word. It has to be the word of God taught by the Spirit of God. And it speaks to your new life, because the word of God does not speak to your flesh. God told you to deny it. That's what delivers or brings or dips into this well, this joy, connected to the fourth element, that this joy is a product of receiving the word of God. You have to believe the truth of God's word. You have to trust in the word of God, meaning a product of learning the truth of Scripture and believing the truth of Scripture. That's why false teaching that I tell you doesn't help anybody. You're not drawing on this relationship with God. You're not drawing on the energizing Holy Spirit giving us joy, love, peace, joy, self-control, content, all those things. It's not that. It feeds your flesh, and in your flesh you're seeing the human joy and the human gratification. You're seeing that, and it's what the Christian is tempted to chase after instead of the work of the Holy Spirit and what God is doing. John 1:4 says this: these things we write to you that your joy would be made full. The things that he wrote, those things have to be the truth of God's word. As you seek to grow and mature in your relationship with Christ, you learn the truth of God's word concerning the pursuit of life for the Christian. You seek to walk by the Spirit's leading according to God's word. As you learn the truth of God's character from his word, of who he is, why he came, and what the Lord did and is doing, as you build your relationship with the Lord through obedience and faith, you draw in the well of joy, his joy, supernatural joy. It's not natural, it's not human. Those are just temporal and will never be satisfied. Although sorrowful, yet rejoicing. Paul knew that well. We would like that God made it that there was no sorrowful. I get it. And that if I live for the Lord and honor him and do the things, that God's going to work it, that there's not sorrowful. This relationship with God is way above, way deeper, way more important, way more spiritual, way more supernatural than the natural things. If I don't have any hard things, I'll be joyful. I'll be sorrowful, but I'll be yet rejoicing. That's what God wants in our life. That's what God is wanting to do in our lives. That's the will of God for us, to live in a constant joy. We're not joyful about hard things. We have the joy of the Lord in the midst of them. There's a fifth element in this. Joy is enhanced through trials. Why? Because your relationship with Christ is enhanced as you trust in God's word. James 1:2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. This kind of connects, huh, Andy? The joy is from God through Christ. It's not from my humanness. That's what you taught. And when we went through that, count it all joy. My flesh says, no, none of it's joyful. My new life in Christ is, all right, Lord, where is it? Where's the joy? Where's the state of being of gladness in the midst of this? And then the word of God goes on, because I'll make you more like Christ. And your new life has great joy in that. The joy is from God through Christ, energized by the Holy Spirit as you receive the word of God in the midst of trials. It's supernatural, believing and trusting in him. Peter said in 1 Peter, it's rejoicing with a joy inexpressible and full of glory. It's a glory kind of joy. This kind of joy is not related to your position or your possessions in this life. It's not. And it never will be. This joy is from a deep down confidence that Christ is sufficient and God is in control and I am his, and seek to truly honor him and his word in the way I live. So to dip from the well of joy provided for us is to trust in the Lord in obedience to his word and believe in the character of God. This has become more clear as we study more what we're looking at. We close with Nehemiah 8:10. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Many of us know that verse. What strengthens you in the midst of trials, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of sorrows of life? Let's just go through the things that are. What strengthens you? What brings strength to you when relationships are broken? What strengthens you when the loved ones in your life don't acknowledge Christ or pass away? And those, what strengthens you? The joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord strengthens me. What strengthens you is that God doesn't want them for you, and by your faith you can change them or avert them. Is that what strengthens you? Or is it the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord has, no matter the circumstance, no matter the enemy of God, no matter what it looks like, God will bring about his will, his work, by his purpose, for his glory and our good. That's the Lord's joy. Did you get that? That strengthens me. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of challenges, regardless of what the enemy is doing, just like in the cross, just like in the upper room, just like what Christ was trying to teach them, you guys should have joy, because regardless of what the enemy does, it can crucify Christ, it can mess with the church, it can scatter it, it can do whatever it's going to do, but by the power of God, by the providence of God, by the work of God, nothing's going to thwart the plan and purpose of God. We're going to join it. We're going to be part of it. We're going to embrace it. And if you want to dip in the well of joy, you're going to recognize that God is over all this. He's the sovereign. And just like Christ, whatever is happening in our life, God will bring about his work, his purpose, by his will, for his glory and our good. And that's the joy that Christ had. That's the joy you live constantly in. That's what Paul's talking about. All from rejoice always. No wonder Christians can only have it. This is supernatural. This isn't humans and the joy that we have. Let's close with the reading of the benediction, and then we'll pray. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. It's hard to get by that for me. We need that, Lord, so much. We need to become more Christ-like in this life. Not just moral humans. That don't just live sinful lives. Lord, we need to become more Christ-like. We need you to sanctify us. May you do that. And the truth of your word says, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will absolutely do that. For faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. By his sovereignty, by his providence, by his plan, by his purpose, regardless of the enemy's attack, regardless of what comes against his church, his people, we will be preserved without blame at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of God and God alone. We thank you and praise you for the life that we have in Christ. Amen. Have a joyful day today. Yeah.